I've had way more success with my own problem. I know what it's like to be able to just code whatever I want, and it's amazing. Yeah. And I want everyone to have that, you know what I mean? So I started an agency when I was 19. I was still in college with some other co-founders, and that was like my job. That was like my life, because in essence, like, the cost of all the software is just gonna like drive down to zero. I've been doing independent consulting and making a certain amount of money.
Yeah.
And with No Code, I make that same amount of money with less time.
Hey, it's Drew from No Code List, and you're smart because you're listening to Codeless.
I've had way more success with my own problem. I know what it's like to be able to just code whatever I want, and it's amazing. Yeah. And I want everyone to have that, you know what I mean? So I started an agency when I was 19. I was still in college with some other co-founders, and that was like my job. That was like my life, because in essence, like, the cost of all the software is just gonna like drive down to zero. I've been doing independent consulting and making a certain amount of money.
Yeah.
And with No Code, I make that same amount of money with less time.
So that right there is my sonic interpretation of Joy. We're at a No Code meetup in downtown Atlanta celebrating the launch of Codeless. This is a podcast that started as a thought, you know, and now it's a tangible item. And I just think that's amazing, especially with how this community helped me attain this milestone in my journey. We're celebrating Codeless over one of my favorite pairings. Champagne, tortilla chips, and guacamole. It's that simple, but it's an awesome combination between salt, fat, acid, umami, and one more thing, community. You know, joy can come in many different ways. It could come in the form of building something new and sharing it with strangers, or helping others become their best selves. Whatever joy means to you, I sincerely wish you more of it, and I especially hope you find joy in the communities in which you're a part. Today's guest is Drew Thomas, and he's definitely a part of the No Code community. More importantly, he's a part of my No Code journey. Drew is out of Texas, so we've never met, but I definitely feel a sense of community with him, especially because of how we've interacted in No Code. We're going to roll right over to Drew, and he's going to start off with a brief introduction of himself. Enjoy.
I'm Drew Thomas, and I absolutely love the idea of empowering people to use software to make themselves and their businesses better and to do things more efficiently so they have more time for things they like better or more important things. I want to spread the idea that no code is very viable today and is going to be even more viable in the future, and it's something that we can all use and take advantage of. It's like win-win for everyone. It's just a really exciting kind of shift coming in the world, especially in business, but in everything.
A lot of the sensibility of the no-code community is based on rules that almost every society should have, like just open communication, willing to help, put stuff out there. And you are one of those people, funny enough, like we met randomly on a Slack channel. And I hit you up because I saw nocodelist.co, and it just blew my mind. At first, I was in this nebulous space of trying to figure things out. It took a bowling ball and packaged it into like a little tiny sized pearl.
Awesome.
Yeah. So let's get into it. First thing I wanted to ask you about, let's just talk about your origin story. Like, how did you get here?
Yeah. So I've been in like digital and tech and that kind of scene for my whole career. So I started an agency when I was 19. I was still in college with some other co-founders, and that was like my job. That was like my life. And we grew that. I did that for 13 years. And at some point I actually realized while I was still the agency that like Squarespace and Wix were coming. And this was like pre-Webflow. Like, I mean, Webflow may have existed, but I didn't know Webflow at the time, but I was like telling my partners,
yeah,
these things are coming for our business. Like, we're not like, we need to wake up to this pretty much. And not just my partners. I mean like everyone in the world. Like I actually wrote an article for Smashing Magazine about how no code is coming for us. And like the responses I got were just,
what year was this?
That was maybe like 2016, I would say, when I wrote the article.
You got to send me a link to that article.
Please. Yeah.
Okay. So go on. So you posted an article and you were telling the world this is coming.
Yeah. And so like I was getting into it, but I started to honestly think I was crazy because like no one was feeling me. It was a little early too. Like I was looking at Squarespace, which is amazing for what it is, but I wouldn't have been able to do the client sites I was doing for clients in Squarespace really at that time. It was more like I was projecting into the future.
Wow. Nice. Okay. That's really good. So let me ask you this. What's no code to you? Like, what does it mean to you? And you can use any concept or term you want, but what is no code to you?
Yeah. It's like this empowering of everyday people that I love about it. Like that's the promise of no code to me, is like that anyone, if they want to kind of augment themselves with software or augment their business with software, they can do it. And that's what I really love. Like, I love the idea of people tinkering and making. I love to make. But what really excites me is, like, the fact that, you know, people are going to be using this stuff for, like, real, valuable, time-saving things. They're going to improve lives, improve businesses. I just love that side of it. And that's really what it is for me. I know what it's like to be able to just code whatever I want. And it's amazing. Yeah. And I want everyone to have that. You know what I mean?
For me and my journey, no code is about transformation. I think for a lot of people getting into it, it doesn't matter whether you're a coder or you're someone that wants to use these no-code tools. I just think it totally transforms you. So we've talked about your origin story. We've talked about the meaning of no-code. I want to really get into the meat of it because I feel like maybe, you know, 20% of our listeners like really just want to know, okay, what has he built? All right. So let's do this. I think you have what, 6 projects?
Yeah, well, I have like 4 main projects and a consultancy.
All right. So let's do this. Let's go through the 4. But more importantly, what I'd like you to do is just briefly go through each, kind of naming it, where we can find it, and why you came up with the idea. And then once we go through all of them, we might come back and, you know, touch a little on some of them.
So the main thing that I do, or the main kind of umbrella company I have, is called Work and Whistle. And okay. That's a no-code consultancy. So I'll do a lot of marketing, development, design work, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And pretty recently, I switched it to be all no-code.
What about the other projects aside from the consultancy?
So then No-Code List is just a list of software, but I curate it. And so each week I add 4 new tools and I start a thing where people can endorse tools, and it's kind of growing as a community.
Yeah.
And the goal there is pretty much exactly, you stated it best in the beginning. It's just like what I want people to see, that like kind of overview, or like just like understand like, wow, this is No-Code and this is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, I had this feeling of being, you know, overwhelmed and content at the same time when I saw it. Okay, so No-Code List, what else?
And then Yesterday's Weather is a recent one I put out, which is a no-code mobile app. So it's in the iOS store and the Android, the Google Play store. That was a big one for me. That was, I would call it more of an experiment, but I built a web app version in Bubble, an app version in Thunkable, and then I did the site in Card. So it was kind of something I could talk about that was all no code.
You know? Just so you know, I literally, I don't know if you can see it.
I literally
you know, bought it. Awesome. I love this app. It is dope. Why Yesterday's Weather?
I've always wanted the weather that way. Like for a while, I actually built that as an app in like maybe, I want to say like 2014. And it was in the app store, but it was coded.
Yeah.
But I love this idea because like if you tell me it's 71 degrees out, I just like, that's not how my brain works maybe. I don't know. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
If you tell me it's 2 degrees cooler than yesterday, I'm like, yeah, I remember yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, it works for me.
It's immediate.
Yeah.
I see. So yeah, I was looking through your projects and I saw this, and like within like, I don't know, you know, maybe like 1.5 seconds, I just like, yeah, I'm getting this. And literally, I kind of feel like this is how I want to see my weather too, right? Because
when
I think of yesterday, like I know what yesterday felt like. Yesterday is also like, in terms of data points, it's a composite of like how I felt, my mood, how the weather affected all that. So when I see this, I'm like, okay, you know, I have a reference. So it's very immediate. I really like it. Thank you.
Cool.
You know what? Let me actually ask this question before we go on. So this is yesterday's weather telling me about what today's weather is like in comparison to yesterday. Will there be a possibility to ever tell me what tomorrow's weather is predicted to be like based on what today is?
There's definitely a possibility. I've had that request too. And it would be like the forecast of tomorrow anyway. You know what I mean? Like there's no, I don't think there's like a smarter way to figure it out, but I would just do that same comparison of like, you know, but yeah, I think it'd be pretty easy. Cause I actually pull in the forecast already out of that data that's in there.
So the reason I said so is because like, I don't normally pay attention to the weather. Like I just like, I want to work. I just go. Like if it's raining, oh crap, I've got to have an umbrella. If I don't have one, oh crap. But my wife, oh, thank God for my wife. She literally like tells me every other day or whatever, like, you know, Saturday I'm in Atlanta and there's a possibility that we're going to get some, you know, funny kind of tornado kind of a hurricane type of weather. I'm not sure what to call it, but I just pay attention to that. So with yesterday's weather, I'm actually now paying attention. And it wasn't because I wasn't interested in the weather. It was because of how it was being framed to me, right?
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Because prior to this, I just thought weather apps were all about take an umbrella, wear a coat, make sure you have some good shoes on, and, you know, be prepared to take off your coat. Like, it was just everything. So thank you. So this is really profound, and I'd really like to recommend it to other folks. I mean, if you think this way, this app is for you. All right, so moving on. So we talked about no code list, yesterday's weather. What else?
So then I have two SaaS companies or businesses that are coded. But okay. The first one is actually a no code platform for e-commerce.
Okay.
But it's called Really Simple Store, and it's really simple. So like, I'm not trying to compete with Shopify or even Elliot is a new one that like looks really awesome.
Yeah, Sergio is making some waves. Yeah, I'm looking at Twitter. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I'm not on that level with this e-commerce isn't that level. This is more like you embed a product on any website and then it can just trigger a webhook, trigger an action.
Okay.
So it's kind of like, it's something that I need for myself and I've just been running. I've been doing all different phases of it.
So here's a technical point. A webhook. What is that? If you had to explain it to, you know, a five-year-old, just give it to me.
Yeah. Well, the easiest way to explain it is that when you purchase something, it just triggers an action in another platform. So maybe if you have like a membership on your site and you want to charge for it, when someone pays through my service, it can trigger a new member. It can like sign them up as a new member. Or like right. It just does different actions. And the webhook itself, just a way to connect two services. So you can think of it like Zapier or like Integromat.
Yeah.
So it's exactly that. And actually, I think what I might do is add Really Simple Store to Zapier. So that instead of using a webhook, you can just sign up for Zapier and just connect that way.
Got it.
That makes sense. It's kind of, and that part of it's new. It was more of a full-fledged e-commerce site. And like even the website doesn't reflect this yet, but recently I've updated it to embed the product.
So I think in an analogy, so like, I guess the webhook you created is essentially like, you know, like a really, really custom pizza, right? Like really custom, like you'd have to be really like specific to like this pizza. And what you're saying now is maybe by connecting it with like Zapier and allowing people to like sign up and use Zapier or Integromat, you literally are making a pizza like with tomato sauce and you can do whatever you want with it.
Yeah, okay. I wasn't sure where you're going with the analogy, but yeah.
Do you like that analogy?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is too, because I was trying to, you know, provide the rest of the pizza. And I was like, no, I just do my one part, which is make that transaction.
Yeah.
And let them, you know, let people take it to whatever platform they want, do whatever they want with it.
Okay, and what was the name of that again, the webhook?
Really Simple Store.
Really Simple Store. Okay, I'll make sure to note the link in the show notes. All right, so what's the last one after a Really Simple Store?
And the last one is Joust List, jousting, the field they play on, like the arena is called a list. So that's what it is. But that's just a random name. I have a partner on this one, and we kind of came up with that together.
That's dope,
Yeah, that's cool. And it's a job search organization tool.
Okay.
Which really what it is, it's like a spreadsheet where you track jobs you're applying for. But when you paste the URL of a job listing, like it'll fill out all the fields for you. And then like if you apply like 3 days later and a week later, you get an email that says like, hey, do you want to follow up?
Yeah.
It's just a little tool to help you.
Nice. That's a really, really cool tool. So, you know, talking about the tools you've made and you talked about, you know, the whys and, you know, kind of some of the stories to go with it. When you're making stuff, are you thinking about a problem you have, or are you like trying to crowdsource the intelligence of the world to make something unique? Like, how does it work for you?
I've tried both. You know, like I basically always try to make, I'm always like looking for projects or products or whatever. So I've tried both and I've had way more success when it's my own problem.
I almost feel like every person I've met in the no-code community literally starts out kind of like building that way. I'm yet to see someone that's kind of crowdsourcing, you know, external intelligence and trying to like make something for the masses in a sense. So let's go into your projects, but specifically I want to start with your no code agency, workandwhistle.co. Is that correct?
Yep.
Yeah. So just starting off, I kind of get the impression that you're a little ahead of the curve. I just see you that way. And so, like, you know, we're all talking about no code and everyone's in their basement tinkering and, you know, making stuff and doing Webflow tutorials or whatever. And like, you're creating an agency out of it, right? So my question for you is this: what have you learned in building an agency? And what would you, like, what advice would you give to someone, like, the do's and the don'ts, you know, of building a no code agency?
That's a good question. I mean, I have a lot of agency experience, which I think is probably what pushed me to go like an agency route.
Yeah.
In the first place, you know, and it's like, I knew client work, I knew, you know, how to sell it, like what people need, all that stuff. So I think I had a natural inclination towards it, but I also saw all the tutorials and the tinkerers, and I love that stuff, but like, I didn't need to add to that space. Like, there's a lot of people doing that. So I think that kind of pushed me in the other direction. And then to me, it was like, well, if I believe in no code, if I think businesses should use no code, you know,
yeah.
I wanna practice what I preach. Like, I wanna help other businesses do it. I could have helped other businesses by making tutorials,
yeah,
teaching others. But like I said, it was just like, that's kind of saturated. So like, I feel like I just naturally went into this idea of clients. But the key with clients that I didn't even expect for some reason is like, you talk to them about no code and all of a sudden their project takes 2 weeks instead of 2 months and costs like a tenth of the price.
Why not just charge them 100% and still let it be 2 weeks?
That's what originally I was like, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then honestly, like, I hate selling. That's like my least favorite thing.
Yeah.
So it's just an easier sell.
Yeah.
And it's like, and it's actually good. It's been working out. You know, I have enough volume that I can just keep going. And
I would assume you get good amount of repeat business just from the fact that you deliver, yeah, under budget in a short time frame and you do quality work.
Yeah, exactly. Especially like, I have some partners that are larger agencies or like PR firms.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's exactly what they're looking for, is just quick turnaround, high quality. And I feel like no code allows that. You know,
okay.
I was pretty quick before, but like, no code, I mean, it's a different ballgame.
Yeah. What's the one thing about starting a no-code agency or running a no-code agency that you should never do?
You know, maybe I'll just say, like, it's kind of counterintuitive, but like, don't push the no-code so hard. I feel like there are people who would respond to that, so take that with a grain of salt. But like,
right,
for an average client, they really love the idea of getting it done faster and cheaper, but they don't care about no code. And pretty much when I try to explain, it's going right over their head and they don't care how it's built. I wouldn't say ignore it, because I think it's an awesome selling point. Like, I have it all over my website. It's saying,
yeah,
no code everywhere.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm not coming in like trying to explain why no code is so awesome to my clients, you know, that I can deliver something good and fast.
I want to give you props for something here. So not only have you been part of my journey in no code, and now you're on the podcast, but like, literally, like, when I, one of the things that happened was when I saw no code list and I was thinking about, you know, being a part of this community, I simply thought about what I could give. And literally I said, what if we did a newsletter based on no code list and just took stuff that they have every time? And then I said, what if you did a podcast? You know, so I really want to thank you, because No Code Liz has been a resource for me. I contribute to it. I encourage other people to, you know, contribute their tools to it. We have a weekly meetup here in Atlanta where we're always like presenting tools as part of our ritual. Awesome. I can go to No Code Liz and recommend something to someone that I know is a pretty cool tool. So really,
yeah,
thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, that was the goal too, is like that kind of gateway mentality. That's what I wanted to just show people, like, here's all this stuff. It's kind of confusing, but it's all right here. And like,
right,
get started, you know. That's why I'm doing endorsements now too, is because I want people to get more information from like,
yeah,
a human perspective on what the software really is and what, you know, what's different about each of the like 20 web builders on there.
I saw that you're also trying to list companies or products that use those tools as part of their no-code stack.
Yeah,
not an exhaustive list, but like a frame of reference for people to understand how this could work.
Yeah, yeah. And that one is like, there's a lot of other people that have lists like that.
Yeah.
And I'm not being too aggressive on that side. Like, I'm not even adding them myself. I'm just letting people submit.
Yeah.
But the idea there is, if you like, you know, if you're checking out Airtable and you're thinking about using it, you can see a bunch of projects built with
that
Airtable
have used it.
Check them out. So that's really what the benefit there is.
All right. So I'm going to put you in a difficult spot now. And I'm going to force you to kind of like, they're not favorites, but they're just things that come to mind as far as nocodelist.co goes. So don't feel like you're picking favorites, but I'm going to ask you some questions that will make you feel like that. All right. So nocodelist.co, if you go on the website, there's a bunch of tools, but the cool thing about it is that they're divided into categories, kind of like categories of, I guess, functions or use cases. And my first question for you is, like, what's a category like you cannot work without?
Can't work without?
Yeah.
I mean, I would say for myself and the kind of work I do, I wouldn't be able to work without like the website and the web app builders. That's okay. What 90% of my business is. But I think as a whole, it's those integration tools.
Yeah.
Zapier, Integromat, Parabola.
Yeah.
That's the stuff that I hear the most about. I feel like most people are talking about those. And there's actually like, I think there might be 8 of them on the list right now, but there's like 10 or 12 of them that are getting pretty popular.
Yeah.
So I think that's definitely a big component in no code. And that's a really easy way to start too. Like a really, you know, connecting two services is what a lot of people need, I guess.
Right. All right. Questions are going to get a little more difficult. What's the newest addition? What's the last addition to the site that got you like really excited?
I've been excited about like a lot of the more ancillary ones. Like there's some machine learning ones on there and like some of the weirder ones.
Yeah.
That's been exciting me. I know one was called like lobe.ai. I can't even really think of them off the top of my head, but
okay.
In general, seeing that breadth has been exciting.
Okay.
But I did just see a really dope tool. And it's not released yet, but I met with them yesterday and like, it's called Builder, B-I-L-D-R.
So you kind of like prioritize, you know, website and web app and then automation and integration. I'm going to pick only one category and I'm going to make you pick the 3 children that you'd save in a boat that's about to sink. All right. So I'm going to pick integration. Pick your 3 kids that you'd have to save from the sinking boat.
I think right now that's pretty easy for me.
Okay.
It'd be Zapier, Integromat, and Parabola. But those are the 3 popular ones. Like those are the ones everyone kind of knows. And I think there's a lot more coming. Like I think that landscape will get bigger.
Yeah.
Or whatever. But those 3 right now are the ones I use most for sure. I think I use Zapier most of all. But
okay.
Parabola is pretty awesome. You know, I've been just playing with that. And then Integromat has come through sometimes where I couldn't do something in Zapier or it was too expensive. And then Integromat, I can do it or even do it for free.
That's interesting. You know, so as someone that is, you know, getting into no code, the podcast is really my first contribution, you know, and I'm looking to do more and make stuff. I kind of noticed these 2 different like extremes, like you want to do something, you find something that can do it. But then the more you look, you'll find, you know, an alternative that is cheaper and kind of still does the same thing. Why do you think that is? Like, what's happening there?
Competition. I wrote a little piece about it. It was kind of like surface level.
Yeah.
But I think about that a lot, actually, because in essence, like the cost of all the software is just going to like drive down to 0. You know,
right.
Like when you have like a ton of different web builders and a ton of different integration tools, even if some are better, like people are going to come in that are new and they're going to get the cheapest one they can get that does their job.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary. I don't know what it means, but it's like, it's kind of weird. And like, I don't know. Are all products gonna start being like $5 a year?
I want to make this a shout out moment, and I'd like you to name some makers in the community that have inspired you. Because I feel like not every good thing is rising to the top. So like, let's just do it. Like, no code makers that you should know.
Yeah. Well, I think KP from your first episode, like as far as rising stars go, I mean,
yeah.
Like, he's doing it right now. And like, there's kind of a community. I would say there's like I'm in this. Well, you're in it too. But the No Code Founders Slack group.
Yeah,
like it's hard to pinpoint that community, like who that is, because it's from all different places. But I feel like that's where like, everyone is kind of coming together.
Right.
So that's kind of a shout out to JT.
JT, yeah, literally, like you know, I don't know what he thought it would be when he started it, but like that was where. I don't even know how I got to Slack. I don't know how I got in there. But I got there, and then it just like was like, someone then mentioned no code. And then I started like going down the rabbit hole and like, yeah, shout out to JT, really. Between, you know, his newsletter and, you know, all the other stuff he's doing, like he's definitely helped me. So, okay. All right. So yeah. KP, JT, who else?
I'm gonna shout out, I don't even know his last name actually, but Ryan from, he has a podcast also.
No Code, No Problem.
No Code, No Problem. Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
I'm gonna shout out him because, so I was talking to Mark from Builder and Elliot, who we mentioned, and Bubble, and I think one other are gonna be presenting at this event he's throwing.
Yeah.
And he's a young guy and he just like came out, started busting out this podcast. He's throwing events now, and it's not just an event, like it's a legitimate event.
Right.
So I think like he's on the rise for sure. I would give him a shout out.
So next thing I wanted to talk about is really kind of like a lightning round. So you know how when you watch those movies and like the psychologist puts up those weird pictures and tells you to like one word. All right. So that's what this is. So literally I'm just going to go and, you know, try to answer within like 2 seconds. Okay.
All right.
So here's the question. While working on No Code, music or no music?
Oh, music. Favorite same song on repeat. Sorry.
Same song on repeat.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right. Favorite space for No Code work?
Ooh, my only space is my office, which is inside of my garage. Not my favorite space, but a good space still.
If you had a phrase or a word to live by, what is it? Go.
Progress.
Like that. Favorite hack for anything?
Ooh, maybe code, actually. I mean, hopefully it's no code soon, but that was the first thing that came to my head is like, make some application. That's my hack.
Favorite restaurant or coffee shop?
Ooh, I love this restaurant called Veg in Philadelphia. I live in Texas now, but Veg, man, my favorite.
Veg. All right. Favorite podcast, and you cannot say Codeless.
Oh man, I love the Indie Hackers podcast and the Product Hunt podcast right now. Those are my two.
How has No Code changed you and how?
Yeah, it's completely changed me. And I would say the biggest like tangible way is that I have way more control of my time and way more free time now. And so like I've been doing independent consulting and making a certain amount of money.
Yeah.
And with No Code, I make that same amount of money with less time. And what's happened is I'm happier. I'm more productive when I do work. I'm spending like way more time. I have a 3-year-old, so I'm spending way more time with him.
Yeah.
All these positive effects came like outside of work.
Yeah.
And I attribute them all to No Code.
So it's
almost like that mentality.
I mean, I don't want to like drill it down, but you're like work less, make more.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It enables you to, you know, and that's right. The thing. It's like I could work more and make more too. That's an option, I guess. But
yeah.
For me, what it was is I noticed I was being so much more efficient.
Yeah.
That the rest of my life just kind of improved. And I used to be much more of a workaholic, kind of like all work all the time.
You know, it's funny that you say that. Like, I feel like ever since I started this podcast with No Code, like I've done a lot of things in my career, have enjoyed them. You know, there's been ups and downs and whatnot, and have had a great living. But like with No Code now, it's really changed me. And here's like, I gotta tell you, like, it's weird. I don't know who said it on Twitter. Someone said something on Twitter, like before they get into like a No Code like project or work, like they have to clean their space. I have to do that now. Like every time before, like I come to the office and like start to work, like I literally have to like get a vacuum. Like I have to clean everything. And it's just so weird because I'm not a messy person, but I'm definitely like not like, you know, I feel like if it's messy, it's because like you just have a lot of important stuff going on, you know?
Yeah.
So talking about that, you know, so I feel like that's like a ritual. It's like a daily ritual that I have now. Tell me about like some daily rituals that you have as a maker.
Well, for one thing, I start every day up until 10:30 on only personal work, no client work, nothing stressful. So that's like a pretty awesome ritual I've been doing for a while now, actually. But that, I mean, it makes it so that when you wake up, you look forward to going to work. And then I think the other ritual is like I do only 2 to 3 hour chunks of work and then take a break. And I used to never do that. It's been amazing.
Wow.
So I work weird hours, basically. And I try to spend like the evenings with my son, but like all around that, I'm like working weird times and weird hours and just feel better.
That's amazing. That's amazing. That's really cool about how it's freed you up to spend more time with the family. That's just great. Let me ask you this about No Code. So there's this funny thing about just, I guess, the way like our world works, right? Like most times, most people are thinking of like being perfect, like the first time around, or like just having the right formula, right? And I'm kind of opposed to that thought, because I think rather than having the right formula, it's about building like your blueprint, you know, that works for you. However, in doing that, there's a question of like, again, being perfect or just doing one little thing to get you to the next place. Can you kind of talk about that with No Code and like, you know, you're so advanced than compared to so many other people. Do we have to be perfect, or should we just focus on like one little thing? And if it is, what would that be in your mind?
I love that question, because I think like what you're getting at is exactly true. To me, it's all about getting stuff out there and not being perfect. But I have a lot of experience of like trying to be perfect with things and working for clients where they're not in that mindset at all. That, you know, they need to be perfect for launch and this focus on launch. That was a big part of my early career. And No Code, a big part of No Code is that idea of just like getting stuff out there and specifically not being perfect.
Yeah.
And I had like such a good time on No Code List. I purposely made it. Like I did things that kind of hurt me, certain things. Like a good example is like the URLs are really bad. They're like crazy. So it's like, if you go to like Airtable's page, the URL is like :tools=, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Like not good, right? Like as a professional developer, that's something that bothers me.
Yeah. But
that's something that I put out there because I wanted to get it out. I wanted to get things out. And I don't care about the URL today. If it takes off, I'll fix that later. You know,
right.
I put that mentality through the whole project of No Code List, like on purpose to an extreme.
Yeah.
And I loved it. And it's nothing like it would have been if I would have tried to build everything ahead of time like I used to do.
Yeah.
I would have built the wrong product, you know, and I'm still figuring out what the right product is. So
yeah.
I advocate so much for just getting stuff out there. I don't think launches are that important. I mean, I think like a product hunt launch is awesome. If you get a product hunt and you get a lot of traffic,
but
that's nothing compared to consistent progress every day.
Right.
I mean, you can make consistent progress every day, just a little bit long term. I mean, way better than any launch or any like press hit or, you know, whatever.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah, I just, you know, because until I found No Code, when I talk to people about this concept, it always felt like I was just weird when I talk about it. So like when I found No Code, I was like, wow, there's people that like think like this. And so it's interesting. So let me ask you this. So let's kind of like, you know, kind of get into a couple more things. And I really want to talk about, I don't know, we could call it a debate or an argument, but what's your thought on this code versus no code like argument? Because like you have a background in both, and like does it matter?
I mean, my personal opinion is like it does, like no code's better basically, like it doesn't matter. But that's a big debate, and I've, you know, I have a lot of exposure to developers.
Yeah,
who hate no code. It's getting better today because it's not as extreme, but like when I wrote that Smashing Magazine article,
yeah,
I was getting like backlash from people that I just felt was just like defensiveness. Like it wasn't real. Like it was just like coders are used to being in charge. They're used to like being the gatekeepers to this world.
Yeah.
And I did it too. I'm guilty of it in my early career where like clients or my partners would come to me and ask for things. And I'm like, oh, that can't be done till next Tuesday. You know, like this coder gatekeeper mentality.
Yeah.
I think it carries over. And I think coders see this idea of like, oh, like Jane from marketing is going to like make a website. Like, no, I don't know. That's our job, you know, but it's not real. It's not, it's totally like, it'll go away.
Yeah.
And it's kind of just like ego. I think it doesn't matter. I think no code is just as good as code. Like for my work, I wouldn't like sacrifice the output, the quality, especially with client work. And I haven't had to, you know, I switched to no code and there's no sacrifice. I think my websites are better. And clients have less little nitpicky things where they're saying, you know, where some random thing isn't hooked up because I had to manually hook it up. It's like I use Webflow and it works out of the box. So less maintenance, less requests, better product, faster, all that stuff. I mean, no code is just,
But then it's not like you're balancing code versus no code, but like if you're doing it all in no code, if you run into something that's a big enough problem, you can like use code as a little like bridge to get over that.
I do that all the time. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes actually I feel like I'm shortchanging people when I talk about no code too, because I do a lot of little code, but it's not the kind of code where you necessarily even have to be a coder. It's the kind of code where you can pick it up, you can copy and paste different places. It's just little code things is really all you need.
Got it. All right. One other debate I wanted to go into with you is, what is it you think that no code can't do today?
I think there's a big gap today in creating a proprietary API, which is like if you have some proprietary data or whatever your business is and you want it to be defensible, there's no way to just like serve that data out to other applications. So like for yesterday's weather, for example, there's a web app and there's a mobile app.
Okay.
And they both get fed the same data through an API, but I had to code the API. So there's this one tiny piece that's coded. And there are ways to do APIs with no code, but they're not perfect. Like they're not really professional yet.
Yeah.
Or professional grade yet. So I think that's the gap.
Would API be considered backend?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's no front end interface to it. Yeah.
What do you think that no code should be able to do in the future that's not like possible today?
I mean, I think in the future, it's going to be all no code. Like software development will be no code. So like, I really truly believe anything will be possible.
Yeah.
I don't know specifically because so much is possible. And like, even when you look at like machine learning or stuff like that, that seems crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know how good it is with the no-code tools that are out there today, but like it's happening and it's coming. So I feel like sky's the limit, really.
Yeah, the train's left the station.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
Even though it's been like 20, like I talked to people literally that were into no-code 20 years ago. Like it's mind-blowing. They've been on the train since, you know
what
I mean?
Hold on. So you know some no-code like OGs?
So like, not only that, but like even the guys, Mark from Builder I talked to, they've been making Builder for 13 years.
Wow.
Like, it's crazy, right? And so like, that's why I feel like the no-code train's taken off and it's this crazy thing that's happening right now. But I think back, I'm like, dude, it's, you know, it's been around.
Yeah.
It feels different now.
Interesting. You know,
and even people like Mark and some of the guys who've been around a while or the ladies have been around for a while.
Yeah.
They'll say the same thing, that it feels different now.
Yeah. Interesting. All right, two more questions before we wrap up. If you could change something about no code, what would it be?
I think I might change that belief that the coders have, or like that, you know, that it's not good enough. I think that's just like a big barrier, and I would love if people just be slightly more open-minded, because as soon as you're a little more open-minded, you see the possibilities. But when you're closed-minded, all you see is the limitations.
Got it.
And, you know, that'd be the one wish. I don't think it's like prohibitive long term. I think everyone's going to come around and really see what it can do, but it would be great if people just kind of like not shut it off so quickly now.
Yeah, got it. All right, so last question. I think this is it's a great place to end. Actually, second to last question. What's a question that I didn't ask you that you wish I had?
I don't know. You covered a lot. I don't know if there's a question. I can't really think of any, to be honest.
Oh, wow. Like, my job is done. Like, okay, good. Good. Okay.
No, it was good stuff. And it was good, like, thought-provoking stuff, too. So it's not even like I have some wisdom I wanted to add. I kind of set all my beliefs, too. So.
Thank you. I mean, like, I love asking questions and being curious. And what's funny is, like, I used to get criticized about that, you know? And now I actually found a way to, like, pour my cup out and, like, do that. So... thank you. Actually, you know what? Maybe that's going to be like the trailer for Codeless. Like, I'm just that guy from the office that always asked a bunch of questions. And now I do it on a podcast. Hey, listen, Drew, like, it was really, really awesome having you, just because of the impact you've had on me personally.
Yeah, thanks so much for saying that, too. It was great to be on.
Thank you. And hope we can talk to you again.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you. I'll definitely talk again.
All right, we've come to the end of episode 2, and I hope it's added some value for you. We're going to be giving away free downloads of Drew's Yesterday's Weather app. Typically, it costs $2.99 US, but we have a hookup for three people to get it for free on iOS or Android. To qualify, send us a voice note about this episode through our Anchor page at anchor.fm/codeless. You can do this on any device because Anchor has built in this voice note feature for creators like me on the Anchor app and on their website. Again, the website is anchor.fm/codeless. You can check the show notes for the links and additional information about Drew. As usual, after the episode was over, I asked Drew to tell us his thoughts on the last decade of No Code, as well as his predictions for the next 10 years. You'll hear his answers after the closing credits. Please rate, subscribe, and share this with someone you know. You can reach me on Twitter or even on LinkedIn through the handle Codeless Podcast. Just search for Codeless and Podcast, and you can't miss me.
The biggest no-code development in the last decade, pretty much for everyone, for the industry, is actually Webflow. And I say that because there was, no-code as a movement, even before it was called no-code, it's existed for a long time. And I meet people who are 10, 20 years doing no-code stuff, but it wasn't until Webflow came in and sort of legitimized the business side of it or the agency side of it. They took the software very seriously and they focused on an audience of developers and professionals, not just kind of like a novel new thing where a small business can build a quick website. They kind of said, no, you can build real stuff with no code. And I really think that paved the way and that opened people's eyes up to the whole scene. And you know, other software developers saw what's possible, people building saw what's possible. And I think that's a big reason why no code is taking such hold right now. In 10 years, no code won't be no code. It'll just be software development and everything will look totally different. Like the next decade is too long to even understand what it's going to look like. You know, everything's changing so fast. And if you take the current trajectory, which is making it easier, more intuitive, and more human to build software. I mean, in 10 years, we might just be speaking to a computer or to a device and it's creating software for us. Like we're heading in that direction. That's where no code is going. And as a thing with a name, I might go away pretty soon, you know, and it will just be software development.